We are in a series called The Church That Wins. And if this is your first time, it's your first time visiting with us, we're really glad you're here. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors. I do not have a fake British accent, just letting you know. But I am a huge football fan, real football, and the kind of thing where you actually use your feet and everything like that. That doesn't win me any prizes around here. But today we're talking about part four in our series, a relational church that builds community. And the main thing today is that Christianity is more often caught than it is taught. Okay? Christianity is more often caught than it is taught. Just this week, the magazine Christianity Today posted an article called Sunday Regulars Are Happier and Healthier. It highlighted research in 25 countries showing one single thing. Those who attend Sunday morning services regularly are happier and healthier in life than those who don't. I posted on my Facebook page earlier this week for those who would like to read it. I reposted it again this morning if you'd like to read the whole thing. Here's an excerpt of it. Religious attendance, rather than religious affiliation, okay, guys, get that? Actually meeting with the community, not just saying that you're part of a faith, consistently linked to higher levels of happiness than the growing population of people around the globe who claim no faith. The report said, whatever the explanation may be, more than one-third describe themselves as very happy, compared to just a quarter of both inactive and unaffiliated Americans. Across 25 other countries for which data are available, the actively religious report being much happier than the unaffiliated by statistically significant margin in almost half 12 countries, and happier than inactively religious adults in roughly one-third of the countries. And here's the analysis. I love when researchers try to explain what God has already revealed. While believers can rely on God to help manage their suffering, endure hardship, whether active members of congregations or not, those who regularly attend services have the added support of social connections. Earlier research, Pew pointed out, indicates that friendship is a key factor. We cannot state this enough. I had one major problem with the article. It defined regular attendance as once a month. So in what other category would we consider missing 75% of, regular? You miss three out of every four Thanksgiving holidays with the family. Hey, is Uncle Dave, coming to Thanksgiving? He hasn't been here in 3 years, but we expect him because he's a regular. Anyway, they didn't ask me. But the research shows that attendance, not affiliation, was a factor. And when the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, let us not just consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It appears that the idea put forth by Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 does happen when we are faithful to it. It really does appear as if we are encouraged and are made happier by living out what the Bible says. Plain and simple. Imagine that. Imagine the Bible knowing what it's talking about. And we cannot overstress the importance of community, all right, of those we surround ourselves with and who we choose as friends. The problem is that we live in a culture where people have signs like this particular one right here, this particular sign. I saw this online today or this week. I thought it was hilarious. Build the wall around my house. I hate everyone, okay? Yeah. Okay, if we're honest, how many of us actually have an invisible sign like that? Leave me alone. I don't want anybody to bother me. Leave me alone. I hate everyone. And there's one person who actually raised their hand. I love that. That's great. And they're the missionaries we sent to Haiti. Wonderful. Isn't that great? Yeah. We went over there. I'm not going to go into that. But I'd say to that, all right, buddy, you need to join a church. You'd be a lot happier if you were part of us, okay? Community is so important. Okay, here are some sayings that we learned as kids. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Okay, a friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Okay, if you lie down with dogs, get up with fleas, exactly. In the Bible constantly talks about who we hang out with and the dangers and the blessings of the people around us. Proverbs 13:20, all over the Bible. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. How many of you all have suffered harm because of the idiot people you've hung out with? Okay, all right, very good. But Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." How many of you all have been successful in life choosing friends wisely? Some of us have, some of us haven't. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." There seems to be a theme going through here that is important who we surround ourselves with. Okay, when I was a youth minister, when I was working with teens, I would tell parents this: show me your kids' friends, and I'll show you your kid. There's no difference, and the parents would always get upset and offended by that. And they would say, "Oh, no. My kid is a good kid that hung around with the wrong crowd." And I would say, "I'm sorry. That doesn't happen. Because there are five kids in the friend group, and every single mother thinks theirs is the good one that's being led astray by the other four hooligans." Okay? I said, the reason your son or your daughter chose those friends was because they had things in common. People that abhor stealing and violence don't hang out with people that steal and commit acts of violence. They don't. If whoever you hang out with, that is who you are. So choose your community wisely, the Bible says. In church, it's time we take community and friendship seriously, because Christianity is more caught than it is taught. All right? What I found being being a senior pastor almost 11 years, being in ministry almost 20 years, is this: what got you here won't keep you here. Okay, when it comes to the church, what got you here won't keep you here. When we started this church, we wanted to make sure Sunday morning was excellent. Okay, we invested a lot of time and effort into that. We had made sure we had the right equipment. We developed a great worship team. John did an amazing job developing that worship team. We wanted to make sure we were reaching people with our messages, try to be as relevant as possible. We wanted to make sure we had good children's ministry, good youth ministry, and we really invested in these programs, and we really had a lot of people coming into our church. And we had a lot of people leaving our church. And less than a year later, they were all gone. Our church was a sieve. You're pouring water into a sieve, lots going in, lots coming out. At the end of the day, nothing happened. And what we realized was that what gets a person to a church isn't what keeps a person in a church. You may come to a church. If you may be visiting today, and you may be looking for some great worship music or some great preaching. You'll get the music, you won't get the preaching, okay? All right? But you may look for that, or great children's ministry, youth ministry, whatever. That may be what got you here, but that's not what's going to keep you here. See, you can hear good preaching a lot of places. You can hear much better preaching than you can hear on Sunday morning online with YouTube. I mean, guys like Francis Chan, Andy Stanley, Matt Chandler, those guys, I listen to those guys all the time. They're much better than I am. You can stay home and listen to them and hear a good sermon. I mean, you can hear better music than what we got. You can listen to professionals in studios. Well, you just go buy Hillsong United album and listen to that. They're better. They've got millions of dollars behind them. We've got a keyboard and guitars, you can hear better. Those things won't keep people here. What keeps you here is one thing: friends. Friends. You can't experience friendship watching YouTube. You can't experience friendship listening to an album. Research shows that the average person who joins a church will leave within 2 years if they don't make friends. So in order for the church to not be a sieve, we have to emphasize and develop community. We want you people here at Catalyst to make a concerted effort to develop lifelong friendships. And in our transient society, in our cultural society, where we just kind of leave and go, and we change jobs, we change majors, we change towns, we change churches, we change friendships, that's a tough thing to do. My grandparents... My dad's parents moved to Louisville in 1953. 1953. They joined St. Matthew's United Methodist Church, and both had their funerals there many years later. My granddad in 1996, my grandmother in 2015. My grandmother was a member of that church for 62 years. 62 years. Now, why? Why did she stay part of one church for 62 years? Well, she and my granddad had friends there. Friends. They had a parade of ministers through there, about a new one every 3 years, very Methodist. Some were good, some were bad, some were awful, actually. I remember going there one time with my grandmother. The poor guy couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag. It certainly wasn't the sermon that kept my grandmother there, but the community they had. Oh, the community they had. The genuine enjoyment that the people had seeing each other on Sunday. I mean, genuine enjoyment. The invitations to Sunday dinner after church. I heard all over the time that this Sunday school that my grandmother and my granddad had, they were all, what are you doing after, are you going, got lunch plans? Let's go. I heard that more times than I could count. The card games they played on as friends on Friday night. They're over at each other's house. Just they love to play bridge. Different generation, I understand that. But they would just eat, fix a bowl of peanuts and a Coke and sit there for hours and play. Lifelong friendships they had. That's why they stayed. And quite honestly, that's why you're going to stay. Or the lack of those is why you're going to leave soon. Look around you. The people here, the people that will be here in 2 years are people that have friends. And the people that don't have friends, you'll find another church that does things better than us. Plain and simple, okay? I like to suggest that the people of this church put dedicated efforts into making lifelong friendships here. You say, why should I? That's risky. That takes a lot of effort. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It is risky to put yourself out there and make friends, but you'll find that is one of the most rewarding things you've ever seen. And this is why community does three things to us. Community changes your Sunday morning experience. Completely changes Sunday morning experience. If you have friends, if you have people here that you're glad to see and you are part of the community, this is what's going to happen. Number one, you're going to hear the music differently. You will. It's not just music. It's you and the church together, worshiping God together, going to your God together as a church. That's what music becomes. It's you and your church, you and your church family. All of a sudden, things change. Second, you're going to hear the sermon differently. Okay? See, our self-centered American way of looking at the sermon is, I want to go there and see what I can access for my life and see if the Word of God has anything for me to say. And if I don't hear anything for me, then it was a wasted Sunday. Well, that's what happens when you're not part of the community. But you hear the sermon differently because you realize it's not about you. It is not something I can just access for my daily life. It's something our entire church needs to hear. Maybe what's going on, maybe what he's preaching about isn't what I'm dealing with right now, but I know my brother or sister over there sitting at the end of the pew, I know they're going right through that. And instead of listening, I'm just going to start praying for them that God will minister to them through this. That's what happens when you're part of the community. This is something our community group needs to get. You know, maybe you're hearing a sermon on missions or something like that, and you're really into missions, but the rest of your community group isn't. And you're like, oh man, this is something that our entire group needs to start doing together. So you start thinking collectively about the Word of God. That's what's important. Start thinking outside yourself when you embrace community. Number three, you see baptisms differently. Oh my goodness, will you see baptisms differently? I love baptisms. Anybody here love baptisms? I love baptisms. I love seeing people baptize and begin a new life in Christ. But man, when you understand community, when you're part of the community, you understand it's not just someone becoming a Christian, which is awesome enough. No. This is a new member of the family. This is someone I need to get to know. They're part of my family now. And you'll introduce yourself. You'll take them out to lunch. You invite them to your community group because you, as part of the community, know that a new believer in Christ, while he or she may have been baptized, all of their habits, all of their connections, all their friends are still on Satan's side. And without a new community, they're just going to go right back to it. See, all of a sudden you start taking responsibility for the people that are dunked in the tank. See, baptism is very differently. We do understand community. And the fourth thing, you understand giving differently. All of a sudden, you see giving differently. Acts 4, 32 through 35, look at how the early church looked at giving. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was powerfully at work in them. All there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Wow. See, guys, you see offering as an essential part of being part of the church. This is for us. This is for the people I love. This is so the mission of the church can happen. Okay? It's an essential part of the Christian community. It's worship, not a break from it. When you're part of the community, you see giving as a joy, as part of worship, because you're part of the community and you know how it benefits the community, the church. And this is the most powerful one for me. You see communion differently. See communion differently. See, guys, when I take communion, when that bread and that juice is passed to me, I'm not just eating bread and drinking juice. I used to. But now I realize something that believers in Christ have been doing for 2,000 years. In every country, every culture, every language, skin color, ethnicity, big cathedral, tiny hut, whatever. Communion is a connection not only with Christ, but with His entire church. And not just current church, but the church has been going on for 2,000 years. Quite honestly, when I take communion here at Catalyst, I think about all of you. I do. When I think about the other churches I've served in Alabama and Tennessee and Lexington, and then I drift to Mexico and the Dominican Republic, Chile, Nepal, India, the place I've done mission work and made friends. Think about those people there. Think about my friends and the churches there. I go back in history. Think about the body of Christ, the community of believers everywhere, and I realize I have a connection with them. Communion becomes a connection with the worldwide body of Christ. When you understand community. The second thing that changes, community changes your life goals. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we talk about it all the time and we'll continue to talk about it all the time. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. How many of you guys seen the movie, the show Blue Bloods? Any Blue Bloods fans out there? I like that. I like that show. So we just got through binge watching it on Netflix. They eat Sunday dinner together every Sunday. Why? Because that's what they do as a family. So you do as a family. I'm sure there are times when they don't want to. Busy, bad day, don't want to talk, but they do it anyway because that's what you do as a family. Okay? When you're part of a family, you develop givens. Everybody say givens. Well, that's a given. We're part of this family. It becomes a given. Okay? And in my family, it's a given that you give Dad the remote control. Okay? It's a given. No one else gets the remote control. Well, actually, they do. They just, anyway. Non-negotiable. If you believe that one, I got a bridge to sell you. Talk to my kids about that one. But every family has givens. It comes as being part of a family. And as a church community, we develop givens. Things that you do simply because you're part of the church. Okay? We meet on Sunday morning. It's a given. It's what we do, in this family. We meet in the community groups. That's a given. That's what we do at this church. You're going to be part of Catalyst for any amount of time. You're going to hear about community groups. That's what we do. We're in each other's homes. We prioritize missions. It's what we do in this family. Man, if you think you can be a part of Catalyst Christian Church and not hear about missions all the time, you're fooling yourself because that's what we do as a church. All right? These things, because we love each other. We reserve Sunday morning for worship only. Lots of things. It's what we do in this family. Okay? And those things become the norm in life, not the exception, the norm. And people who join our church and children who grow up in our church catch those things. They're taught by your example. They absorb. Christianity is more caught than taught. They see people going on mission trips. They see Sunday morning priority. They see us loving each other. They see us meeting together. And that becomes the given. That's how Christianity is caught, not taught. Community of believers living out their faith is the greatest witness to the world of what Christianity is and who Christ is. And I would say that community and friendship is the greatest shaping force in our lives. Who you hang out with and what you do, who you spend time with is the greatest shaping force in your life. All right? And this is the big one, though, is that community gives you the chance to be influential. To be influential. We have very short time on this planet. Somebody told me the shocking realization about myself that I'm closer to retirement than I am to my high school graduation. Wow. As someone who refuses to think of himself as old, that's kind of sobering, isn't it? I'm 44. And my time on this planet, I'm realizing, is going faster and faster and faster. You all that are older than me understand that. I mean, it used to be when I was in school, it seemed like a week was forever. Now a week is nothing. A month, a year. I mean, I can't believe it's 2019. It's like the closer you get to the edge, the faster the water goes over the fall. I mean, that's the way it is. And I'm realizing that my time on this planet is not going to be forever. And so what am I leaving behind? Who is going to be better because I was here? What am I going to pass on? Who is going to be influenced by what I believe to be important? Well, when we have community, you get a chance to pass that on. Paul understood this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He's saying, listen, I'm following Christ. I want you guys to follow me. I want to be influential in your life. I want you to learn to pray from me. I want you to prioritize what I prioritize. I want you to do the things that I'm doing because I want to be influential in your life. So here's a question. Catalyst Christian Church, what are you passionate about? What drives you? What keeps you up at night because you can't get it off your mind? What makes your heart start beating? What makes you, tense up? What makes you say, yeah, let's do it? Well, those are the things that you need to be influential about, okay? Do you think maybe there's some people who are looking for someone to learn from? Absolutely. I'm passionate about missions. Everybody knows that. I love missions. I think they're so very important, okay? Not just to this church, but to overseas as well. I love church planting, and I've dedicated my life to it. This past Friday, we got a call from Robbie, our orphanage director, FaceTime call, and he was showing us the construction of the new orphanage building in DeMero. Have anybody seen that online? Not the orphanage building? Yeah. It was really cool, but that wasn't what was cool about it. And he was wanting to show me the building. The cool thing was there were a bunch of kids from the orphanage there. And when they saw the phone and I guess saw my face on the phone, they came running up. Only they weren't shouting, "Hi, Pastor." They were saying in the cutest Indian accents you've ever heard, "Sam, Elsie." Anyone want to see me? They wanted to see my kids. Why? Because Elsie and Sam had made friends. They'd been influential on them. See, I realized in that moment that community has ripple effects. I realized I'm passionate about missions. The Lord opened India as a place for us to be influential. My wife and my kids came with me. Now my wife and kids fired up about missions. About India, and now the people of India are fired up about Elsie and Sam and Rachel, and we're fired up about them. We taught them about church planting, but they taught us about community. They taught us how to love each other. We taught them about the Bible, and they taught us how to live out the message of Christ as a tiny persecuted minority. We taught them about theology and missions. They taught us about generosity and giving, and them having nothing yet sharing everything with us. That doesn't happen without community. So what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about foster care? Well, we need you. Get out the message in this church about the importance of bringing broken children to your home and loving them and giving them a place to be and to learn about Jesus Christ. Are you passionate about discipleship? We need you. Make disciples and teach other people how to make disciples. Are you passionate about leading worship? Are you a musician? Does music drive you? Well, come here and be influential and lead this church in worship. Speaking of worship, band, come on up. Are you passionate about finances? Do you enjoy seeing people get out of debt and live and leverage their finances for the kingdom? We need you. We need you to be influential. Disciple some of these young couples that don't understand that, and older couples that don't understand that. Are you a Dave Ramsey aficionado? Well, we need you. Are you passionate about hospitality? Making people feel welcome, making sure that people have friends, making sure people are greeted. Is that your talent? Are you passionate about making food? I mean, your biggest fear is that somebody somewhere needs another helping. You know, is that you? We need you. Are you passionate about making coffee? You know, whatever it is, be influential here. That happens with community. Our main thing today is that Christianity is more often caught than it is taught. The reason I'm standing before you right now is I caught Christianity from two Christian friends in high school. I caught Christianity from my mom and dad. I caught Christianity from my youth minister and my youth group in high school. In other words, there was an entire community of people that I caught my faith from. You probably have a very similar story. And I cannot think of one person who sat down with me and went through the Bible with me. I can't think of one person, one sermon that converted me. I can't think of one sign on the road saying I'm going to hell that convicted me of my sin. However, I can think of the Christians around me that I caught the faith from. Faith is more often caught than it is taught, y'all. It only happens through community. Catalyst Christian Church, this is your pastor speaking. I'm asking you this year to make a conscious effort to make lifelong friends here. Because if you don't, you'll be gone. You won't be here. And we'll miss you because we really love you. There are great people here. Invite someone over for coffee this week. Invite someone over for dinner this week. Join a community group. Make time for the people in this church. Let's be such an amazing community that non-believers, people who don't know Christ, will flock here because of our love for each other. That's what the early church did. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have professional clergy. They didn't have political power. They didn't have money. They had community. They loved each other. And as people flocked to them, the church told them about Jesus. Church historians say that within 100 years of Jesus' death and resurrection, there were over 1 million Christians in the world. It's insane. Nobody traveled much back then. Communication didn't happen very often, yet the church grew from 0 to 1 million within 100 years. Simply because the church took community seriously, and they allowed the non-believers to catch their faith as they did everything together. Let's be a church that does that. Catalyst Christian Church, love each other.